Louise and I are going to just share a few words with you. I think it's the first time we've ever done this in 20 years. So if it goes well, we're not staying. And if it doesn't go well, you'll be glad we're going. So I'm going to speak a few things from John, Gospel of John, and Louise has got a few things from 1 Corinthians. So the first thing I've got here is from John 16. I'm going to be reasonably brief here, I hope. Where Jesus... I don't know what you're going to do. Jesus says this, but very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus said that. It's good for you that I'm going away. And I feel I've finished what I needed to do here. What God has given me to do, I've done. I've taught you all I can. I've led you as far as we can go together. And God has called me to leave. And I genuinely believe that not only is that good for me, but it's good for you as well. Now, it may not feel that way. And if you put yourself in the disciples' shoes back then, when Jesus said, it's good for you that I go, they're probably thinking, no, it's not. I would have been anyway. But I genuinely believe, you remember the last few weeks I've been trying to get you to just think about what are the scriptural parallels with what's going on now, with what we see in scripture. And I think this is one of them. I'm not saying that I'm going to be, when I go, the Holy Spirit is going to, I can't send the Holy Spirit. Sorry. But I think you already have the Spirit. So that's that. But I genuinely believe, we genuinely believe, that it's good for you that we go. Because if I stay, I think I will get in the way of what God wants to do next. So I need to go, which is best for me, and it's also best for you. And if I don't go, I think what God has next possibly won't happen, or I'm just going to get in the way. So me going is going to bring change. Yeah, change, but change is good. Because God is changing us and transforming us into his likeness. And there's a new stage for me and there's a new stage for you in that. So it's going to be hard, but it's going to be good. But God wants us to grow. So there's my first thought. It's good for you that we're going away. All right? Keep that in mind. Over to Louise.
Thank you. So I just wanted to share a few things from Corinthians that... I'll just wait for see if that's an important message that I wanted to share with you. And we're going to look at three separate scriptures, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2, and then 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read the first bit of 1 Corinthians. The beginning of the letter says this: I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. And that's how Richard and I feel when we look out at you guys, when we pray for you guys. We thank God because of his grace that we can see in you, that we have, as a church, have been enriched in every way. And we can see the testimony of Christ among you. So we give thanks for that and we continue to pray for you. It then goes on, verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so again, you do not lack any spiritual gift. He will keep you firm to the end. God is faithful. God has called us to lead you over the last 20 years, but it's the Holy Spirit and Christ among us that has done the transformation. He may have used us, but it's the work of the Spirit, and that doesn't change. And the spiritual gifts that you have and the knowledge and all of those things remain, even though we go. the next chapter I want to read to you. And again, this is how we felt when we came here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Listen to this next bit. So your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And when we came here, it was with fear and trembling. You know, we came to this church to have a rest. 22 years ago, God called us from our previous church and was really clear, you're coming to a place where you're going to rest and I'm going to show you the next step. And that rest was rather short than we anticipated. And you guys are so gracious to us in accepting us and loving us because, you know, we really didn't know what we were doing. We had no training. We had, but we knew God had called us and you knew God had called us. And we resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we didn't come with wise and persuasive words. And over the years, I think we can all agree that Richard's wise and persuasive words have increased as he has grown and he's grown in wisdom. But it's always been led by the Spirit's power. So that when we get to this point, when we leave, and for the rest of your lives, your faith doesn't rest on us, but it rests on God's power. So we may have introduced you to Jesus, and I can look around this room and see people who that is the case. We have prayed for gifts of the Spirit. We may have encouraged you to speak words of prophecy. We may have ministered to the poor and to the marginalised. We set up CAP, we did job club, we did toy library, we did clothes swap, we did food bank. And we may have given you more knowledge. We may have spoken wisdom. We may not. I don't think we were right all the time. But it wasn't our wise and persuasive words, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So remember as we go to rest on God's power. Remember you're not lacking because he is faithful. So you've got the wisdom, you've got the knowledge, you've got the spiritual gifts. So what's my final message to you? 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men of angels or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. So all these things we leave with you, all these things God has done over the years, without love, they are nothing. So in a church, I said we've grown in knowledge and wisdom over the 20 years, but without love, it's meaningless. So don't become a clashing cymbal. As a church, we may have developed in prophecy and grown in faith, but without love, it's meaningless. As a church, we've given ourselves to the poor, but if we do that without love, it's hollow and just builds self-importance. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So we are known as a church that welcomes and loves. Let's not forget that in the months to come. Check that in everything you do, you're speaking to one another with words that are patient and kind, that you're seeking the best for one another, that you're honouring one another, that you're speaking words of gentleness. Don't keep record of wrongs. Thank you for not keeping record of our wrongs over the years. Continue doing that. Don't go over what someone else might have said or done in your head. Be quick to forgive. Protect one another. Trust one another. Because love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
So I'm going to carry on that theme. Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And another place in John 17, he says, Jesus prays for his disciples that they may be one as we are one. He's talking to the Father. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So it's not a difficult message, really, in theory. Love one another and be one. Just as Louise has been just wrapping up there. Love one another and be one. Be unified. I was thinking about this. Different people go to different churches for different reasons. I don't know if you've noticed. If you get chatting to people, and there are some churches, they'll say, oh, the preaching is just amazing at that church. And that's why they go there. Now, I don't think I've done a bad job, but I don't know whether actually that is the primary reason why most people are here, if anybody. Some people go to churches and they'll say, oh, the worship was amazing. What they mean was usually the band was amazing. And I know I'm a fairly decent musician and I haven't done a bad job with that. But I don't know whether actually that's the main reason why people are here. Yeah, some people go to some churches because they say, oh, they've got an amazing children's work, all singing, all dancing, all the latest things, super trendy. I don't think I've done any of that myself, really. Maybe. Anyway. But I don't think that's why people are here. I think what I hear time and time again about this church is that King's is a place of welcome, place of hospitality, place of acceptance. No matter who you are, you're welcome here, you're accepted. It's a place of unity despite diversity. It's a place where we share, we have communion with one another in every sense. It's a place where there's love. It's a place that we call family. I think that's why you're here. Because you're caught up in this kind of living reality of what it is to love God and love one another. And what did Jesus say was the most important thing? Yeah, love God, love one another. Pretty simple, really. That's what church is supposed to be. It's what it's supposed to be about. Just simply loving God, loving one another. And I know we've played our part in that. I've taught it. I hope we've modeled it in some way. I hope we've lived it out before you. But it isn't something you need us to be here to carry on with, by the way. Can do that. People do that. So let me just reinforce I know it's the same thing that Louise said, but I'm going to reinforce it. You know, love and unity matters more than anything else. It matters more than you being right. Love matters more than you being right. Okay, love matters more than doing things properly. You may think, I don't know whether that's the right way. I don't think that's, love matters more. Remember that. Love matters more than your agenda. Love matters more than what we paint the walls, the color of the walls in that room next door. Okay, you're going to have to make some decisions without me. And whatever color the walls are, love matters more. All right? Seriously, some churches split over stuff like this. Love matters more than if the singing goes out of tune. Yeah? And this is the most important one, for some of you anyway. Love matters more than if there's no sausage pasta at feast. Although Louise has taught Joyce how to make it, so there's... Oh, so just about to. It's about to. All right. No pressure. Love matters more, though, even if she gets it wrong. How we are with one another is the top priority. All right, how we are with, this doesn't mean say we can't disagree and have a healthy discussion about something, but it does mean that we do that well. That's what love and family is all about. So, my last thing. It's from John. This is just after Jesus is resurrected. Mary's discovered him in the garden. And Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, my God and your God." So I'm going to be really blunt now, okay? I'm going to have to say this. In a couple of hours' time, I'm not going to be your pastor anymore. So don't hold on to me. I need to go to what God has next for me. So I'm not going to be a preacher anymore. I'm not going to be doing the baptisms and the child dedications anymore. I'm not going to play the piano anymore. I'm not going to be leading communion anymore. I'm not going to give guidance to your problems anymore. I'm even not going to remind you that I played for the Queen anymore. So do not cling to me. Okay? So I don't want any of you saying, and you can keep each other accountable in this, Richard would have done it this way. No more, none of that. Okay? None of this, it was better when Richard was here. No messaging me next week to tell me that you wish I was still there. Okay, no contacting me in 6 months' time saying there's a great job being advertised in a wonderful little church that I think you'll be ideal for. All right? Do not cling to me. Because it's for your good that we're going. Okay, and I genuinely mean that. It's hard, but I genuinely mean that. Because this church is more than the Fox Show. We've done our bit. But this is God's church. Has been for 100 and... How many years was it? 108? No, I can't remember now. We love you very much. It's time to go. God is with you. And he'll hold you. And you'll find your way with him. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. You'll find your way with him. Amen.